This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I got a text last night from Kang, and it says, you know, we actually may have a topic about the Women's World Cup. And all right, what's that? He said, there's some social media heat for running up the score and for the way that they celebrated. I'm like, okay, I had the game on yesterday. I was folding laundry and doing stuff around the house. It was, as I would describe Gator, as video wallpaper. It was just kind of going, and I'd look up, and I'd hear some cheering, and I'd go watch and see a replay of what I just missed, et cetera, et cetera. And it wasn't really intense viewing because it wasn't an intense game.
At any point did you go, wow?
No, what's funny is I when I turned it on, it was 4-0, and when I probably the last goal I remember seeing was maybe 7. It was goal 8 scored by Megan Rapinoe. That is one that her celebration has come under some scrutiny. I mean, they're up 8-0. Okay. This is an insurmountable lead. They're clearly way dramatically outclassing an opponent. And she sprints away, does like 3 or 4 twists, slides on the ground and starts kicking her heels or legs up in the air. I mean, it was the type of celebration that I got to admit already I'm not a big fan of. I'm not a big fan of, oh, look at me. Look what I just did. I'm always like, hey, you know, your teammates helped you out too. Celebrate as a team. As a general rule in sports, I much prefer team celebrations. But in soccer, this is kind of the way it is. And I like the sport. And I really like it at the World Cup level, men's and women's. But as the day went on and I woke up this morning and I turn on Good Morning America, hey, Team USA ain't around. But did they go too far? So I'm like, all right, well, we're going to talk about this. So I watched a little bit more and I've been following this team and their various challenges. I think there's a lot more going on here than maybe everybody realizes. First, let's start with this. Is it fair criticism to say they shouldn't have scored 13 goals? In my opinion, no. First of all, goal differential matters. Are they likely going to need all 13? No. No, they aren't likely to need them, but heaven forbid you call off the dogs and it costs you. If Thailand's that bad and that outclassed, and probably really in reality shouldn't even be there, but they are, somebody else could do this to them, and it might matter. It might not, but it might.
When all is said and done, I don't know if there's going to be another team that gets blown out 13-0. I mean, that's a record score.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. But the other thing is, you can't really empty the bench in soccer. You're allowed 3 substitutions. That's the rules. So even though you have 23 people on the team, you can't play all 23. You have your starting 11, then you sub in 3 more. So you can't just say we took all our best players out because you can't take all your best players out. Now, I think there's an undercurrent here, though. The women's team's already pissed. I've heard them talk leading up to this thing, and it's been my impression that they love themselves. Like, they really love themselves. And not... It sounds like I'm really, really being critical. I'm just like, no, they're really tooting their own horn. And that's the way they came across to me. And I'm not a big fan of that either. But I'm not killing them over this. Some people are killing them over this. I think part of the problem here is that the women are pissed. There's a huge pay disparity between men's and women's soccer. Not a little bit, huge. The pool of prize money for the Men's World Cup last year was $400 million. The pool prize money for the Women's World Cup, $30 million. France won the Men's World Cup. France took home $38 million for winning the Men's World Cup. The U.S. women's team, if they win the Women's World Cup, takes home $4 million. Now, there's lawsuits ongoing with this. The problem is that the men's soccer game worldwide generates massive amounts of revenue. You might not. I mean, I'm sure everybody in the country realizes it's bigger elsewhere. But that's what leads to the disparity. Huge TV ratings. Huge TV ratings worldwide. Then that leads to huge TV contracts. People buy tickets to the Men's World Cup. Not so much the Women's World Cup. What'd you say, 14? Didn't you find 14 of the 53 games are sold out?
I think that's what you said, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, they tried to capitalize. Like the Women's World Cup in 99, when it really first came on the map, when Brandi Chastain scored the goal and took her shirt off and on the penalty kicks and everything, there was a lot of buzz about it. And that was before I had a daughter, and I remember watching that. And now I got a daughter who plays soccer, and she watches all of this and loves it. But that got on the map, and they immediately started up a women's league, professional women's league that was running independent of USA Soccer, and it ran out. Basically, the investors, after 3 years of losing money, said enough. If the money isn't there, if it's not being generated by the women's game, no matter how good they are, and they're so much better than our men's team. Our men's team didn't qualify for the World Cup. Our men's team is pretty bad. But they're not making the same amount of money as men's teams around the world because they're not generating the revenue. And you can't, can you force them to be paid more when they're not revenues being brought in?
If the money's not there, you can't force anything. Now, I think that what they're doing is kind of calculated. They know that they're going to get a lot of heat for what they're doing, to scoring all the goals, and also for the way that they celebrated. It was a little over the top, a little over exuberant. But what's going to be the product of that is that more tickets are going to be sold for the games that they play in, because people love to hate. They love to love and they love to hate. Apathy has no place. So if you can get everyone to love you, awesome. But if that's not going to work, might as well go the other route with it. And if they're going to portray themselves as the ugly Americans with the arrogance and all that, so be it. But it's just going to create more of an edge, and people are going to want to watch it. And that's what has to happen. That's part of the steps that has to happen in order to create more of a buzz about the women's soccer. It's painfully obvious that the rest of the world doesn't put as much of the resources into women's athletics as the United States does.
You made a great point earlier in the show. Soccer's more popular in the rest of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
It stands to reason that their women's team should be better than ours, right?
Without a doubt. And yet, it's not. And I think it's an indictment on how the rest of the world views women in terms of trying to be equals with men and with athletics. It's not the case elsewhere in this world. In the United States and in Canada, and maybe some other countries, some very few other countries, I think they're put on the same, or try to be put at the same level, but clearly not in Europe. It's just not there. And you can't manufacture it. You're going to have to grow it somehow. Now, I don't know, if this tournament were played in the United States, do we think we'd have bigger crowds, more sellouts?
Yes, I actually do.
And I do too. I think you're right. And not just, I mean, I think people would go for the event to go see Ecuador take on Thailand. They wouldn't care because it's Women's World Cup. We'll go and watch that. Maybe that's something that has to happen. Is that, I don't know where they're going to play the next World Cup, but if they wanted to get crowds, have it a place where people are actually going to show up. Because apparently they don't care so much in France for what's going on with the Women's World Cup.
Well, look, you use the term that the celebrating when you're getting to goals 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, you use the term, it's a bit off-putting. And I agree with that. I was like, ooh.
Well, it's the way that they celebrate. You can celebrate. Yeah. Celebrate with your teammates. Everybody jumps up and down. You're high-fiving each other. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you start doing, dance moves, or you're counting off, hey, I scored, like Alex Morgan counts off for the four goals and she ended up with five goals in the game. I mean, it just doesn't look good. But own it. If you're going to do it, then own it. And I think that's probably the route they're going to take. And go ahead and just steamroll through everybody.
Let's be clear here, too. The Dream Team got criticized for clowning on people back in the day.
They did. But they loved them in Europe. They were rock stars, man. People couldn't wait to see it. It's not the same thing with women's athletics. It's just not. It's like when you get Manchester United or whoever comes over here and plays in the States for a friendly or whatever they, right. whatever you call it.
Good job.
Thank you. People here treat them like rock stars too, right?
Yep.
But it doesn't happen with the women.
Well, there's a little bit of difference in that. I think there's a curiosity factor with the Dream Team and a curiosity factor with Man U that there's...
But there's no curiosity factor with the women.
I don't think there is because they play around the world all the time. Now, I guess, do they play in France? Maybe I'm wrong on that. 248-539-9797. Ticket text 97136.
Something else, another thing with the chip on the shoulder that women might be playing with.
Yeah.
They've been questioned by some of the former teammates. You know, Hope Solo questioned whether or not this is the right coach for this team and how these women are gonna end up playing. Are they gonna play the right way? What are they gonna do? Well, they just won 13-0. They yeah. smoked the competition. I don't know if you can question a coach in a 13-0 game, although I'm sure now they'll question how the team is being handled and all this. But there's a chip on the shoulder. And I wonder if part of that chip is also they want to get out of the shadow of the team that won in 99. Everybody remembers that one.
Yep.
We remember it. I don't know how many times have they won it since. I couldn't tell you. I don't know if they've won it or not since then.
We have.
I imagine we have, right? That's the thing. I'm sure we have, but I don't remember. I remember 99, and I'm remembering this right now because it happened yesterday, but 13-0 is going to be hard to forget. Now, it's not a championship game, but it's part of the tournament. I wonder if there's a chip on the shoulder. Just try to get out from the shadow of that previous team.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.